John chapter 15. I forgot when I got to the message, I don't know, you know, God just speaks to you about what you're going to preach on somewhere along the way during the week. And we in the choir, we kind of plan our song. We know what we're going to sing next week. Most of the time, we know what we're going to sing the following week. And I forgot we were going to sing Joy is Going to Come in the Morning. And I got this topic that's really going to deal with joy. That's what I wanted to talk about today. But John chapter 15, verse 7, the Bible says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Heavenly Father, we come to you again in prayer. Lord, thank you now for your word. And Lord, just pray now that our hearts, our minds can be focused on nothing but your word, what you'd have to say to us today. It's my prayer as always, maybe someone here lost. Lord, today would be the day that they'd be saved. Lord, I pray you continue to speak to their heart. Lord, put the whole service into your hands. Help us to be aware, Lord, of your presence today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of the message is My Joy, in reference to Jesus, and Your Joy. Key verse 11, that's what Jesus said. He said in verse 11, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." That your joy might be full. You know, we know that Galatians 5:22 gives us the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible talks about that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That means that if we are filled with the Spirit of God, that this is going to be the fruit. Even spoke about fruit bearing in the text that I just read, that if we are full of the Spirit of God, that this is going to be the fruit that we're going to bear. It's going to be the fruit that's going to be seen by the world, by the lost world, be seen by the saved world too, but be specifically seen by the lost world, that we bear fruit. And I started thinking about it when I was first writing it down. I thought, well, you know, you can't, if you have love, the love of God in your heart, that you're going to have joy. I mean, you can't separate that, right? I mean, if you got the love of God in your heart, I'm going to tell you what, it just produces joy. You walk around all the time with a smile on your face that nobody can, explain. I remember, I'm usually pretty upbeat. I mean, I can get aggravated like anybody, I guess, but I'm usually on the positive side. When I was in the service, I remember this girl, I had known her, you know, I knew her just around, hey, how you doing, being in little groups of people. But one time we were all sitting around at the house. There was a bunch of us, and that girl, particular girl, was there. And we got to talking and all, talked a little bit more just than the casual, how you doing? And she said, you know something? She said, when I first met you, I didn't like you. I said, why? Because she said, you walked around smiling all the time. And I'm thinking, I said, well, what? I said, well, what's the big deal? What's wrong with that? She goes, well, she said, it just seemed like you knew something that nobody else knew. Well, maybe I do. You know, I mean, what's the big deal? See, you're not going to like me because I was smiling. That's a heck of a commentary, man. I mean, I guess if I walked around with a scowl on my face all the time, she'd have been happier about that. But anyway, it all worked out. But, just having, if you got the love of God in your heart, then you're going to have joy. And I started thinking, well, I started looking at the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, and I thought, well, you know what? You can't separate none of that. If you got the Holy Spirit of God in you, if you got the love of God in you, then you are going to have joy. The joy, His joy. Jesus said that my joy might and your joy would be full. And He would go on that. And then if you're going to have peace, right? You got the love of God in your heart. You got the joy of God in your heart. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have the peace of God in your heart. You can't take it away. It's connected to that. It's all one thing. As a matter of fact, it doesn't say, the Bible doesn't say, talk about the fruits of the Spirit. It's singular, fruit, one thing. It's all connected. Okay, and if you have the love of God in your heart, the joy of God in your heart, you're going to have the peace of God in your heart. You will be long-suffering. That means you got, you know, you're a little more patient with people than you maybe used to be. It says, so you can't take that away either. Then gentleness, it mentions that. And then goodness, you're going to have that, the love of God in your heart. You're not have goodness. And then faith. You're going to have faith. And then it says meekness, and then in temperance, you know, be moderate in things. And so I realized that I was just trying to stick with joy, but I said, you know what? You can't separate any of these things. The filling of the Holy Spirit of God is going to put in your heart. And so in our text, Jesus spoke, and the two things that he spoke about was love and joy in the text. And so, I want to think about that and really talk about that, focus on that one aspect. I want to focus on joy, thinking about the joy of the Christian joy that we should have, and then we would have, we will have, if we're saved, if we're full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have a joy. That's it. And Jesus prayed this prayer. He's praying, and he's prayed that his joy, in verse 11, might remain in us, and that our joy might be full. Now, you know, the key to the whole thing is just being full of the Holy Ghost of God. I mean, if you're full, listen, if Jesus is in your heart, you're going to have joy. Does that mean you're going to be happy about everything in life? No, it doesn't mean you're going to be happy about every circumstance in life, but there's this underlying joy that's going to be pervasive in your life, no matter what's going on around you in the world. And I think, you know, what a testimony that is. I read a fellow named Thomas Cook wrote, "A joyless Christian is a stumbling block to the world and an offense to his brethren and to God. A joyless Christian is a stumbling block to the world and an offense to his brethren," other believers, "and to God." Someone else wrote, "A joyless Christian is a libel to his master." A joyless Christian is a libel to his master. I mean, listen, we're looking at the times that we live in today. If you want to get a wrinkle in the middle of your forehead and a scowl on your face, just watch the evening news on any channel that you want to look at, buddy. And I'm telling you what, and we can get aggravated about this, the political scene, the economic scene, the moral scene. We can be aggravated about all that. And if you're dwelling on that, you get this look on your face. Here we are supposed to represent Jesus Christ and the world that we live in. Listen, I mean, we should have something on our countenance. I believe when the apostles, when it was said that they took note that they had been with Jesus, I know it had to do partly with their speech, what they had to say. But I'm going to tell you what, I think there's a difference that the way that we ought to look in our demeanor. I'm not, you know, most of the time. I mean, there's going to be some, there may be some sorrowful times in your life. But even then, how you handle those things, how you respond to things like that in your life. And we think about it. Listen, a lot of God's people today, I know, have about as little joy or as much gloom and doom and depression and anxiety as the people of the world that don't know the Lord. And I think it's a bad testimony. We're not going to win anybody to Christ. I mean, if somebody sees us and we're looking gloomy as they are, why would they think we have anything better to offer them than what the world has already given them? So that's why it's a libel to our master if we are a joyless Christian. And I want to tell you this, it's an impossibility to be full of the Spirit of God and not have joy in your heart. It's impossible. And I'm going to tell you what, if you got joy in your heart, it shows, right? I mean, you get them crow, see all them crow's feet I got? You know what that's from? Smiling, huh? It's from smiling all the time. Before I was saved, the people that I knew, I remember my roommate one time, he said he got all them wrinkles around there because he's always smiling all the time, grinning all the time. I had joy in my heart even before I got saved. I got more joy now than I had then because I got more to be happy about. And so, Jesus said, back in verse 11, he writes these things, He talks about, look what he's talked about. I didn't read the whole thing in chapter 15, but I read, he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then ye shall ask what you will and shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. Well, if you, the only way you can bear fruit, if you have the full of the Holy Spirit and then you have the fruit of the Spirit, so shall you be my disciples. And then he talks about the Father's love and keeping his commandments and abiding in his love because he kept the commandments. And then he says, I spoke these things to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Well, see, the only way your joy is going to be full is if you're full of God. If you're full of God then, and Jesus is living in your heart, then his joy is going to remain. Not only will it remain, it's not a partial joy. You know, you can't have a partial joy. You got it all or you don't got it. You don't have anything. You know, it's a joy that Jesus put in there. What I always tell you, Jasmine, when you, I say, Jasmine, be laughing. I said, way down inside, right? Huh? Way down inside. Get that joy right there. Because she can look kind of stoic sometimes. But I know, see, she's laughing now. Sometimes, see, it's way down inside. That's the way it is with the joy that Christ has in us, and that it's got to be one and the same. And so listen, we said this all the time. I could solve every problem, I got the answer to every problem you have in your life. The answer to every problem that we have in the church is, I'm going to tell you what, just get full of the Holy Spirit of God and it'll solve all the problems. You'll be going the right way. You'll be doing the right thing. All the things that should be out of your life will be gone. All the things that ought to be in your life will be there. And I'm going to tell you what, when you do, and Jesus talked about this abiding right here, when you're in the Father's will, I'm going to talk about that. I'm probably way ahead of myself. That's okay. When you're in the Father's will, it's a joyful thing. It's just the way it is. And so I want to talk to you about several things about joy, just 3 points about it that we have. Number one, we'll see the strength in joy. The strength in joy. You know, we talk about it and we always relate it back to Christ because it's Christ living in us. Joy and happiness, I'll define that for you, is not the same. You know, we can get happy, you know, a lot of time, but happiness is going to be dictated by circumstance. What's going on in your life, what's not going on in your life, it can be influenced by outside things, you know. You can drink some things that might make you happy. You might smoke some things that might make you happy and do other things. Happiness kind of come and go. Joy is an inner happiness, an inner, I don't know, contentment even, that is not, it's beyond the circumstance. Sure, will you get sad? Yeah. Will you be happy about everything? No. But joy is going to remain. It'll always remain. That's what Jesus was talking about, that his joy would remain in us. He wasn't particularly happy about dying on the cross, not in the overall sense. He having asked the Father, he said, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, he said, but it, nevertheless, thy will be done. I mean, he was thinking about that. But I want to tell you something about that. It was the joy in Christ's life that sustained him on the cross. This is what he said in Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What caused him to endure the cross? The joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, so what it was, this joy was the strength that sustained Jesus Christ on the cross. The joy that sustained him, and it's not just one thing, the one of them is, the joy that set before him was our redemption. He was looking to us, you know, I knew that for ever since I looked at that verse. I knew that we were the joy that was set before him. Others, you know, there's a certain amount of joy about putting others in Christian love first. And Jesus was looking at our redemption, our salvation. He endured the cross for our sake, not his. He didn't need redemption. He endured the cross for our sakes that we could have eternal life. And that looking down the road that we, the people that are saved, would be with him. This, that we would be with him in glory. I mean, he was looking forward to that. How many of you have to, if you ever have to endure anything that's unpleasant, you know, one of the psychological tricks is you think about something pleasant. I hate to go to the dentist, man. I'm going to tell you that. I can't stand the sound of that drill. Man, I'm out in the waiting room. If somebody else is in there, and I'm feeling their pain. Trust me, man. Reason being, when I was a kid, I got a bunch of fillings done without anything for the pain. That's how, you know, my doctor wasn't real thrilled about doing that. Boy, and boy, that's not too bad. But when you hear that part right there, huh? Boy, my teeth hurt just thinking about it. So what did I do? To this day, I got dental anxiety. Man, I'm a grown man. Dental anxiety, because I'm going to tell you what, do anything to me, don't mess with my teeth, right? If you need to know information, you got me. Once they fire the drill up, I'll tell you what you need to know. But I'm tell you what I do. I think about something else, man. I think about something good, just laying there, and I'm praying, Lord, just there. And I haven't been hurt by the dentist in years, in a long, long time, since I was in the Navy. The Navy was good. Those dentists were great. Best ones I ever had. Couldn't believe it, man. And after that, but I'm just, because of my childhood, that psychology of it, beat me with a 2x4 any day of the week. Just don't mess around with my teeth. But anyhow, another story. Think about the joy that was set before him. He thought about that. He kept it on his mind. It sustained him what was going to really take place. Now, here's another thing, and this is what I never thought about. There was joy in obeying the Father. The joy and obey in the Father. You know, he went and said, he said, if I abide in you, if my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, shall be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There was joy in obeying the Father. Now, if you've been saved any amount of time, and you know what it's like to be in the Father's will, you know what that feels like. That's a comforting. It's not that we're banking anything on works. There's just a peace, the presence of God. And if you've been saved any amount of time, no doubt you've got out of God's will. And when you get out of God's will, I'm going to tell you what, there's the absence of that joy. You know it. And there's the absence of peace. There's the absence of love. I mean, I'm going to tell you, there's things missing because we're not abiding in the Father's love, you know. And so it was this joy of obeying the God the Father. I mean, he had that, and it sustained him on the cross because he knew, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, I'm doing what God. And so when we think about our life and we think about what the commandments of God and what God tells us, and we know that we're crucified with Christ, yet we live, not I, but Christ that lives within me. You know what that means? That self has been crucified, the self-life. And if the self-life is crucified, doesn't that tell you that there's going to be times when that old flesh is going to want to do something, and God's going to want you to do something else, and it might not be a sinful something either. The flesh wants to go a certain way, and God says, no, I want you to go another way. And if you're really obedient to God the Father, you're going to go the way that God leads and not the way of the flesh. And I'm going to tell you what, it's going to give you joy. And I'm going to tell you what, if you go the other way, I don't even care if the other way is not a sinful way, it's going to take that joy away. It's just going to. It's going to take the joy away and the peace away. So the thing that there's strength in joy, it was a strength. It sustained Jesus on the cross. The joy was our redemption, obeying the God the Father. And then also knowing the promises of God. Man, he knew what God said. Hey, he knew about the resurrection day. Huh? We know about it too, right? And so those are the things that really sustained him, knowing the promises of God the Father. And it was a joy for him to know that he was going to be set down at the right hand of God. He was going to be set down there one day. He was, you know, he knew all those things right there. Now, joy comes from a transformation, not a substitution. a transformation. See, this is what the whole world, I like to boil everything down. I was telling somebody, I talked to the financial advisor the other day. They got all this mumbo jumbo. I said, look, just get it down, nuts and bolts. Doop, doop, doop. I want to know the basic thing, the bottom line. I don't need a bunch of fancy words. Just give it to me straight. This is what, you know what the deal is, right? Okay, so we think about the substitution, the things that, and what I was going to say, boiling things down far enough, man's basic want is to be happy. What's our topic? Joy, right? So our basic want in life is to be happy. Man, a little song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Y'all want to sing a couple rounds of that? Could have had Paul leading that for the special singing. Don't worry, be happy. We want to be happy. Now, really what we want, see, our mind's all messed up there. Really what we want is joy. Because we know the happiness is going to come and go. But we define it that way. And that's what we get a lot of times. There's a substitutionary, it's not really joy, but we will use that word, happiness. And so what's man always looking for? We're looking to be happy. So what do we want? We want a better job because that'll make us happy. We want to make more money because that'll make us happy. We want to have fun. Boy, I can't wait for the weekend. When I was lost, man, I was so happy when Friday got there. I was telling the kids that the Christmas break, I love the Christmas break. I was so happy that Friday we went flying out of the door at school. Didn't have to go back for a couple weeks. We knew it. Yippee, man. Parents weren't all that happy about it probably. But we went out and we were so happy. And then, boy, you dreaded and you had to go back, back to school. Maybe the first day back was okay. But after that, back in the rut. And so we were looking for that. We go on vacations because we want to get away from the grind. But why do we go? Because we want to have fun. We want nothing wrong with it. Listen, God's not against fun. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying God doesn't want us to have fun. But what do? We do it. We go someplace or do something that we like to do because it makes us happy. But we have they're well and good. It's well and good, but it's not the same as the joy that comes from being in God the Father's will, no matter what we do. And then there's other substitutes we do. Why do we, people drink, we're going to booze it up. Why do we want to booze it up? It's a substitute. You hear people all the time, some kind of crisis happens in their life, and boy, I got to have a drink. Well, why do you got to have a drink? Because you want to substitute what's really going on in your life. You want to substitute some kind of happiness that you think that it'll give you by doing that. Drugs the same way, alcohol and drugs. I'm going to take this substitute, put it in my life, and I'll be happy for a little while. And it's true, it is happiness. It's happiness, but it's not joy. It's not the same thing. It's not a joy that passes all understanding. We know what's going on in our life. And so, we have this substitute, depending on the circumstance in our life, a diversion of some kind to make ourselves happy. You could have a life that maybe it's not that a big of a contrast. You just got a dull, mundane, average life. You're not whooping it up at the bar on Friday night. You're not doing dope. You're not having that. But you just got this mundane life, an average life. You're going to your job every day and you're coming home every day and you got in the rut of life and nothing's exciting happening. And so it's not necessarily bad, but it's not a good thing. And so what happens? You want to pump a little excitement in. And so what happened? You divert. If it's not Christ, listen, you go to another diversion. It can be in a lot of things. That's how people get into extramarital affairs. That's how people get into, all kind of things, blow their money on. They think it's in things, buying things, having things, gambling, whatever it is. A lot of it is diversionary because their life is so bland that there's not joy in their life. It can cause you a lot of problems right there down the road, and you don't realize really that's what it is. But we know this, we know that joy is a transformation. We can tell from our text that joy comes from the Word of God. Look, verse 7, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. He said that, and then he went on, and he added a few things, and then Jesus said in verse 11, these things up here, if my word abide in you, I have spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full by the word of God right there. Why? We got some promises from God. And so Jesus himself is the living word. You know, and if he is abiding in us, boy, it's going to be joy. Now, he said, we see the words abiding, obeying, and the word in verses 7 through 10. And so it's all connected. The joy of Jesus was to do the Father's will. If Jesus is living in you and you're crucified with Christ and Christ, you live, yet not I, but Christ that lives within me. Guess what? Where's our joy going to come? There's no other way. There's no other way. It was impossible for Jesus to have joy out of God's Father's will, which he never was. But he knew this. It couldn't happen. The joy set before Jesus was not only us, but those people that would be saved. Also joy in obeying the Father's will. And there's nothing like, I tell you what, if you've been saved a long time, like I said, boy, when you're in God's will, you feel that presence of Christ. It's not like you're shouting to the top of your lungs. Usually it's just a calmness, a peace, an inner make you smile and people won't know why you're smiling kind of thing, that being in God's will, it passes all understanding. It does. It just passes all understanding. The strength and sustaining power of joy is seen in others. Other people, we have biblical examples. You know, the apostles, when they were in Jerusalem, they were locked up for preaching the word of God. But an angel of the Lord came and opened the prison doors. They had got locked up for preaching, and the angel came and opened the doors and told them, go on back to the temple and preach again. And they said, okay. You know, like us, we'd be praying that we wouldn't get locked up. They were praying for power to keep on preaching the gospel, by the way. And they went back to the temple and preached, and guess what? They were arrested again. This time they were beaten. And they were commanded not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And after they were beaten, they were let go. And Acts 5:41 says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They weren't rejoicing in the circumstances. Nobody likes getting to be, you know, being beaten. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer because they knew they were beaten for doing what God wanted them to do. They were doing what, so look, guess what, folks? Christianity, oh, it's just going to be a bed of roses. No, I'm going to tell you what, there might be some time because of the world we live in when the direction that God sends you in is not going to be the easy path. It's not going to be the easiest way. It's not going to be the popular way. It's going to be a way that may cause you some kind of external suffering, but the internal joy. So they rejoiced that they just said, man, I can't even believe it. We were enough of a Christian to get beaten for our Christianity. Huh? They counted that a joy right there. Remember old Paul and Silas, you know that story? Boy, they got beaten, thrown in the inner prison down in the dungeon, man. And you know what? In Acts 16:25, it says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard it. Everybody heard it. Even the jailer heard it. And I'm going to tell you what, man. Let me say this. Listen, you don't sing, not like without joy in your heart. Listen, you don't sing at midnight in a dungeon in the stocks after you've been beaten unless there's some kind of joy in your heart. Listen, as evidenced by church singing everywhere. Huh? Listen, I mean, don't you think there's nothing like if there was really the joy in our heart when we got to singing? Huh? I don't believe we'd be clipping our fingernails, digging in our pockets and purses for other things. I think we'd be singing with all our heart, with just joy in our heart, with a smile on our face. You know, that's a testimony right there. When we go to the prayer advance, what's the one thing you see? When Harold does the little videos, he gets preachers, he don't know what he's going to ask you questions and you answer him, and he'll do some little promotional videos from that over and over and over again. Boy, the singing. What's the difference? Because, man, we get there and the Spirit of God gets on us, and you ladies have been to the ladies and know. And, man, I mean, the singing is just so much more powerful. Why? Because we've got the joy of the Lord in our heart. His presence, his abiding presence is in our heart. So you don't sing without joy in your heart. I can tell when Sherry's in a good mood around the house. I'll be in the other room, and if she's in there doing the dishes and she's humming or singing, I got a little something going on there, I know she's feeling pretty good. Sometimes she's in the shower. I hear her in the other room. I can hear her in there singing a little song, humming along. She's a pretty good singer. She don't think so. She could probably sing special in that, but she won't do it. But See, I hear her singing. It does my heart good. I'm going to tell you the truth. It does my heart good to know that she's in a singing mood. Of course, being married to me, you know, she's probably singing all the time. But, I mean, you know, you can understand. I was telling Ray Sloan, we was at the funeral, we were at the graveside yesterday, and I was standing over there, and I said, yeah, our anniversary's coming up. He said, yeah. I said, yeah, 38 years. He said, man, 38 years. I said, yeah, God sure did bless her. He said, oh, man. He said, I'm not going to say nothing. It's going to be Sunday tomorrow. I'm not going to say nothing. He went on right there. But you know what? When somebody else is happy, you get around somebody that's happy, don't that kind of rub off on you just a little bit? Huh? You get around somebody that's in a joyful mood, and by converse, if they in a dumpy mood, you're going to get in a dumpy mood, man. I mean, that's just the way it rubs off. It's a effectual thing, infectious thing. Let me say it that way. An infectious thing. What an impact it had on the when Paul and Silas were singing. It had an impact on those prisoners. I mean, they could have been down there whining, moaning, and groaning, why me? It would have had an impact, a negative one. Those guys were already in a moaning and groaning probably, but they said, what are these guys doing? They're singing. They're singing up there, man. It sounds like they're in a good mood. And, of course, you know the story, man. The jail was earthquake. The jail opened up, man, and the jailer was going to kill himself. And they said, hey, don't. We're all here. Don't worry about that. Man, all of them. Man, they wanted to know what happened. What was the difference in her life? And, of course, the jailer is, I believe it was one of the main reasons that he and his family got saved, because he heard something, saw something in their countenance, something in their life that he didn't have in his life. And I believe as Christians, listen, what a testimony either way the lack of joy might have or the presence of joy in your life can have on somebody else that needs to be saved. I believe you're not going to, with the long face and discouraged and disgusted all the time, I don't believe you'll be very effective in leading somebody to Christ. And then the second thing, we see the joy of service. Psalm 126:6 says, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I'm going to tell you what, there is nothing like leading somebody to the Lord. Yeah. You want a joy, man? I mean, you know, it's not you. It's not a prideful thing. It's just, boy, when you go out and you do what you are made to do, Christian, and you go out and witness to this lost world right here and somebody gets saved. Man, I tell you, there's nothing like it, boy. I remember when I led that guy to Colorado a year or so ago in Colorado to the Lord, and I was just standing out there with a grin on my face, standing in the woods. Good thing nobody else walked up. They thought, look at this nut, man. He's standing out here in the woods by himself, big old smile on his face. I could just feel the love of God. I mean, it's nothing like it. John 4:36 says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Oh, man, right there, man. And you know what happens? Joy multiplies. Joy is compounded, when two are experiencing that joy together. Nothing like obedience for abiding joy, and nothing like obeying the Father's will for a present joy. Fulfilling the Great Commission, our purpose in life, to go out and preach the gospel. Romans 14:17 says this, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That means, like, it's not all about eating, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, or the desires of the flesh, or you could apply it this way, too. It's just not about working and all we can get and taking care of our own little self. Man, it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Boy, that's the kingdom of God right there. Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Boy, the joy of serving God. Not only does serving God produce joy in us, it produces joy in others. When Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the Bible says that the people listened, the people gave heed unto the things that he preached. Giving heed means, not only did they hear it, they obeyed it. And it says in Acts 8:8, it says, and there was great joy in that city, the whole city. There was great joy in that city. Why? Because they acted upon the word of God that Philip had preached. And then the last point is the joy in salvation. The joy in salvation. Luke 15, 7, the Bible says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know what that tells us? That there's joy in heaven when somebody gets saved on earth, that it produces joy in heaven. Isn't that something to think about right there? Acts 15, 3, joy in the believers. We'll see that. And being, talking about Paul and Barnabas, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and caused great joy unto all the brethren. Man, everybody got excited. There ain't nothing like seeing somebody come down the aisle at church and get saved. Man, I mean, I'm telling you what. See, Satan is such a liar. He gets on somebody's shoulder that's getting under conviction about their salvation, and he's whispering in the ear, oh, you're going to look like a fool if you go down there. You've been coming to church for 50 years, and you're going to look like a fool if you go down there and get saved. And that's a lie. I'm going to tell you what, because there's nothing any greater than somebody coming down the aisle, man, and getting saved in church. I mean, and it doesn't matter where you get saved, but boy, when you get saved where other people can share in that with you and rejoice, what a blessing that is. It just confirms things in our life that God's still on the throne. It gives us a joy that passes all understanding. And so, a joy for believers to hear about or see someone being saved. And 1 Thessalonians 2:20 said, for ye, the believers, are our glory and joy. That's what was written there. And so, you know, we think about this in closing. I'll say, the Bible says that Jesus is a man of sorrows. He is a man of sorrows. But I want to tell you something. Jesus didn't walk around with a long face on all the time. He was a man of deep, abiding joy. He was content. You know, you know what a contented look looks like? I mean, a contented look is a joy of peace, assurance. It's joy. It's produced by joy as well. Not a joy dependent upon circumstances, but dependent upon the spiritual resources of the abiding presence of Jesus Christ and God the Father. 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what Jesus Christ does in your life. It's not just sometimes everybody's got it narrowed down. Oh, you know, Jesus, if you trust Jesus, you're just going to have a home in heaven and you're going to avoid hell. Well, yeah, that's true, which if that should produce a little bit of joy, but it's also his presence that gives us joy in our heart that should be seen by the world out here. It gives you an opportunity to witness. See, it gives you an opportunity to be a testimony. I hope the joy of the Lord is in your heart today. If not, think old Satan lies to us and tries to beat us down. What's Satan trying to do to the believer? He's trying to steal your testimony. And there's lots of ways to do it. It's not just in blatant sin, but I think it's sinful for a Christian not to have joy in his heart and not to have that seen by the world's way. He tries to steal your testimony. He doesn't want you to have joy on your face. He doesn't want it. But God wants the opposite. It's available to you. You might be here not saved. Paul, you come up and we'll have an invitation if God spoke to your heart this morning. Maybe it's things you just